welcome to this broadcast from Armagh Free Presbyterian Church. I'm glad that you're joining with us this evening as once again we turn to the Word of God. And I would invite you, please, to turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29, I want to read with you just one verse, my text for this evening. Proverbs chapter 29, and we're reading from verse 1. And the Word of God says, "He that being oft reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Amen. Well, please join with me in prayer at this time and let us ask for the Lord's help as we turn to his Word. O Lord, our God, we thank you for your Word which speaks into our lives and our situations. We thank you that it is a Word that transcends time. And O Lord, we do pray that you will help us to receive your Word with profit and with joy. O God, we pray that you will conform our minds and our hearts and our wills to your truth. Help us, Lord, not to be prideful or arrogant, or to think that we know better than God. Oh Lord, we do pray that we will be a humble people. And we pray too that through your Word you will speak to the lost, that they will sense that they need the Lord's Word and they need the Lord's Christ. And we pray that through the Word Jesus Christ will be uplifted and glorified, and that we will feel and sense our need of him. So Lord, do this great work, we pray. Help us now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, I call your attention to this text, Proverbs 29 and the verse 1. "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Now, this text is most relevant to us at this present time, given all of the circumstances, events that are happening in our land and country. A wonderful thing about the Word of God is that it speaks to us in every situation and in every issue. And nothing can be more essential for us than to turn to the Word of God now and to listen to its message. Now, there is no question that God is speaking to people and to the world as a whole at this time. This is most evident given the circumstances that have come upon us through the pandemic. One of the great fallacies of our age is that God is somehow uninterested in the affairs of men, or at the very least that God has nothing to say to them. Of course, the very opposite is true. God has something to say about our world. And certainly in the years of recent memory, there has not been one period of time in which the Lord has spoken so much to the nations at large as he has done now. God is speaking to this world in a very powerful way through the events that are occurring. And the Lord can speak in many different ways. He can speak through his Word. He can speak through nature, the creation. He can speak through tragedies in our life, sicknesses. He can speak through death and all of these kinds of things. And so it's very obvious then that God has been speaking directly to us through the circumstances that we have found ourselves in. But the question perhaps you're asking is, what has God been saying through world events? What is the Lord trying to tell us? Let me put a number of things to you. Clearly, we have been shown that we are not in control of life or this world. An unseen killer has brought our lives to a standstill. It has abruptly broken the illusion that we have the power to order or regulate our lives. Before the pandemic, it seemed that life was so organized and our lives were in control and we did everything when we wanted and how we wanted it. And then all of a sudden, our organization became utterly chaotic. We were forced to do things that we would have thought impossible before, and our confidence to predict the future was entirely shaken. And God, through these events then, was showing us that we are not in control of life or this world, but rather He is the one who is sovereignly ruling in this world. We are reminded of Psalm 24 and the verse 1 where we read, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." This world and all that is in it belongs to God. He is the creator. We are but the dependents. We are but depending upon the Lord for everything. But furthermore, haven't we been taught that we are mortal and life is but frail and brief? Thousands have died from the disease and many more are dying. All levels of society have been affected. Death has been placed before us and all around us. We have been shown in a powerful way that life is frail and brief. We're reminded of the words of 1 Peter 1 and the verse 24, that our lives are like the grass, which springs up quickly and then withers away and is gone. Certainly, we have been reminded of that sense that David had whenever he said, "There is but a step between me and death." It has been brought to the forefront of our minds that we are but passing through this world, that we're on a pilgrimage, and that death is coming for all of us. But moreover, surely we have been taught through these world events that judgment is coming soon. And that is something that we must recognize. The afflicting hand of God has been upon us. In His providence, He has permitted this plague to come. And we must see it as a loving warning of the final judgment of this world by Jesus Christ on the last day. And that's the Lord's grace that He would do that. There are many things that the Lord does to remind us that His judgment is coming. And we are to live in the light of the coming judgment. And so surely then we see that God has been communicating all this. But what is so tragic is that the world is not listening. Isn't this true? There has hardly been a response at all to what has been happening. The whole world lieth in wickedness, says the Apostle John, and that's exactly what we've observed. And that means that the world is deaf, it's asleep, it's insensitive to all that God is saying. It's like shouting at a person who is asleep. They're dead to all that you're saying. They're not going to hear you. And this, the world that we live in is lying asleep in wickedness. And it's not hearing what God has to say. And surely this is most evident in the reaction of our leaders. The leaders of our country who but reflect the thinking and the attitude of our nation at large. Have you noticed that there has never been once a suggestion of turning to the Lord? There has never been an appeal for God's mercy. There has never been any suggestion at all that we need to repent of our sins and turn to God for mercy. What then is the outstanding feature of our societies at this time? And it's one word. It's complacency. This is nothing but complacency. And it is through every level of our society. You might ask, what is complacency? It is a feeling of quiet pleasure and security. A feeling that everything is well and there isn't a problem. And it's often accompanied with an unawareness of some potential danger or defect. A careless person is someone who lives in self-confidence and doesn't realize that they are in danger. And certainly we can say that carelessness characterizes the nation we live in. And I turn your attention to our text this evening because it shows to us how dangerous complacency is. We read, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." And the condition being described by this text is complacency. I wonder whether or not that's true of you. Are you complacent about life? Complacent about your soul? Do you sense that God is speaking to you at this time? Do you have an awareness that the Lord is dealing with you personally in your own life and with our nation at large? I wonder, how often have you been personally reproved by the Lord and you haven't responded? Perhaps you've listened to many sermons, many broadcasts over the last number of months and year. You've heard God's word being preached. You've seen all that's been happening in our land, and yet you haven't responded. And we read in Jeremiah 13 and the verse 15, "Hear ye and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord has spoken." Oh, I wonder, are you someone who hasn't given ear to God's word and you're full of pride and you haven't listened to God? And the point is that you need to listen to God. You need to hear His word. Our Lord said that the man, the woman who hears His words and does them is a man or a woman who is built upon the rock Christ Jesus. They're on a firm foundation. We need to hear the word, and we need to do the word. We must not be complacent to God's word. So I want to consider with you from this text the danger of complacency. The danger of complacency. What is the condition that is being described in our text? And why is complacency so dangerous? Well, first of all, observe with me the many privileges. The many privileges. We read, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Now, the complacent person in view has the privilege of being frequently reproved. The word reproved, it means to rebuke or to chide, to argue. And you reprove someone whenever you come to them and you correct them of some wrong. You show to them where they've gone wrong. You've said, "You've done this wrong." And so reproving then is to show where one has erred and to instruct in what is right. You see, that's good reproving. It's not just to tell someone where they've gone wrong, but you also need to tell them where they need to go right. We would call that constructive criticism. It's not just to point out faults and flaws, but it's also to say, "Here's how you can put it right." Now, isn't this something that we all struggle with at times if we're honest? We don't like to be told that we're wrong. We don't like to be reproved. We find it difficult to receive correction. But yet the Bible shows to us that listening to God's reproving is the way of life. If you look with me in Proverbs 6 and the verse 23, Proverbs 6 and the verse 23, and there we read, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." And so we are taught then that being reproved by God's commandment, which is a lamp, and by God's law, which is a light, is the way of life. And so in hearing the voice of God, you are not being led astray or being deceived, but rather you're hearing the words of eternal life. You're hearing the words which teach you how you can be saved. They are words which lead you to Christ. They are words of which our Lord said, "My words, they are spirit and they are life." You see, although there may be the pain of being reproved, yet listening to God's reproving is the way that you and I are led into righteousness and into life. But the Bible also shows that not listening to God's reproving is to put your soul in jeopardy. It's not just that you'll miss the way of life. You will put your soul in jeopardy. And again, turn with me to Proverbs 15 and the verse 32. Proverbs 15 and the verse 32. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. You see, that's the great folly of refusing to listen to God's word, is when you do so, you're actually hating your own soul. You're actually jeopardizing your soul. You're putting your soul at risk of being lost forever. To go your own way, to not listen to God, is to take the broad way to destruction, is to take the way that many are going, but ends in the loss of your soul. Oh yes, the way that seems right to us might approve of us, and we might say, well, I think this is the right way to go. But the Bible says that the way that man thinks is right is the way of death. It ends in death. It ends in the loss of your soul. And so the point I emphasize to you is this. Only a fool willingly continues in error. A wise person, rather, listens to the truth, corrects their wrong, and loves the reprover. And we're taught this in Proverbs 9 and the verse 8. If you look with me in Proverbs 9 and the verse 8. Proverbs 9 and the verse 8. And it says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. You see, if you're a wise person, you will listen to the truth when you hear it. You will respond to God's word. You will be thankful that you have been corrected from the wrong. And the person who reproves you, you will love. And how true that should be of God. When God comes and reproves us, when God exposes our folly and our error and our sin to us, we should respond by loving Him and saying, thank you, Lord, for exposing my sin, for exposing my folly, for exposing my error, because if I continued on as I was, I would be lost and condemned. Surely as we think of this then, how privileged this world is. As a merciful God afflicts us and makes us feel our need of Him. How privileged this nation is, which has such a rich gospel heritage, that has heard the word of God preached so many times. And how privileged you are to hear the word of God. Don't hate God whenever He reproves you. He reproves you out of love. Don't resist Him. Don't turn against Him. Don't be filled with enmity whenever God points out your flaws. Respond in love. Respond in thankfulness, because He does so for your own good. And so we observe then that the person who is often reproved is a privileged person. But then secondly, I want you to observe the stubborn obstinacy. The stubborn obstinacy. Because complacency is evident whenever there is no appreciation for the reproofs and no change from it. Do you notice that in our text we read, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck? So what's the response of a complacent person to reproof? They harden their neck. And these are words that bring to our minds stubborn obstinacy. Here is an expression that refers to stubbornness, to a hard heart, to a stiff neck, to someone who resists the truth of God. You see, these words, the hardening of the neck, they bring to our minds oxen that will not be turned by their master. See, boys and girls, that's how men in these days would have plowed their fields, and even moved carts. They would have had two oxen. And the oxen would have been controlled by the master by reins. And to turn the oxen then, you would pull on the rein, and the rein would pull on their neck, and the animal would be turned. So the picture then is this, that the neck stiffens in resistance to the tugs of the reins. If the oxen don't want to turn, they will harden their neck, they will stiffen their neck so that their master cannot pull them and turn them. And so whenever the oxen stiffen their neck, it indicates that they do not want to follow the will of their owners. You see what we're being taught here? The hardening of the neck, it indicates rebellion. It indicates disobedience. It is linked to the refusing to hear a message or receive a rebuke. And I wonder if that's true of you. Is God tugging on the reins of your heart? Is God pulling on your life in some way, seeking to conform you to His ways, and you're stiffening your neck, you're hardening your resistance? You see, you can even do that in the manner that you hear the Word of God. If you look with me in 2 Kings chapter 17, and turn with me to this passage, because here we have an example of someone who hardens their neck. 2 Kings chapter 17, and the verses 13 and 14. And there we read, "Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, Turn ye from your evil ways, and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Notwithstanding they would not hear, but hardened their necks, like to the neck of their fathers, that did not believe in the Lord their God." You notice then the connection that's made here between the hardening of the neck and not hearing the word of God. When the neck hardens, it indicates that we're not believing what we're hearing. We're not receiving the word. We don't want to hear what God has to say to us. Oh, I wonder, is that true of you? But this was the response of Israel to national calamities, especially in the time of Amos. And if you read in Amos chapter 4, there we are told that God sent famines and he withheld rain and he destroyed crops of fruit and he sent plagues and he judged the people for their sins. And five times we read these words, "Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord." And so as God dealt with wicked Israel at that time, they hardened their necks. They stiffened their resolve. They said, "We're not going to turn back to God no matter what happens to us." And it seems that this nation has decided to take the same path. It is stubbornly obstinate despite the affliction of God upon it. How sad it is that we read that God says of Israel of old, "All day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." And the word gainsaying means obstinate. And that's how God is with us. He's so merciful. He's so gracious and long-suffering. He keeps stretching forth his hand. He keeps afflicting us that we might turn. He keeps reaching out to us. But we say no. We're obstinate. We're disobedient. We don't want God. We don't want him in our lives. We hold him back. We turn our eyes away from what he is doing. We stop our ears from hearing his word. Oh, yes, that is true of our nation. But what about you? Is your heart getting harder and your neck stiffer to the gospel? What's happening to you under the preaching of the word? Are you becoming softer? Is your heart being filled with love and devotion to God? Or are you becoming harder? Are you being filled with more and more enmity and hatred to God? Is your resolve to resist God growing? Oh, if you are, then you are in great danger. You are a complacent person. And that leads me on to my final point, because yes, the complacent person has many privileges, but they stubbornly and obstinately refuse to listen, and something terrible happens to them. And that leads me to my third point, and I want you to observe with me the irredeemable loss. The irredeemable loss, because we read in our text, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." So the complacent person, or even the complacent nation, is in danger of experiencing the reality of this text. This is what God would say to us tonight. God himself says that complacency to what he says ends in abrupt and swift destruction. There comes a time when God no longer stretches forth his hands in mercy and in long-suffering and in love, but rather he stretches forth his hands in anger and in judgment. The word in our text, destroyed, it means to break, to burst, to smash in pieces, to shatter something, to render something broken or ruined. And it really has in view the picture of dropping a piece of china or a plate onto the floor. And we all know that if you drop a plate on the floor, it smashes into pieces and you can never put it back together. It breaks into all of these pieces, and it's entirely ruined. You can't ever use the plate again, and there's no chance whatsoever of putting it back together again. And that's the sense of this word. To be destroyed is to be shattered, such that you cannot be repaired. God, he will smash the false hopes of the complacent and condemn their sin. And we read of this in Proverbs 6 and the verse 15. Proverbs 6 and the verse 15. And there we read, "Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy." And that's describing the complacent person. And you will notice it comes suddenly, out of the blue. The complacent person just going on in life, feeling comfortable, everything's going fine, and then suddenly it all is destroyed. And what makes this destruction worse is that it cannot be undone. There's no recovery. It can't be healed. It can't be restored. It's incurable and impossible to renew. You notice that in our text, "shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." And that's the awful thing about the end of a complacent person, is that when it comes to the end, it can't be undone. There's no remedy. There's no gospel of mercy or salvation. You see, this is an eternal damnation, something which the rich man in Luke 16 discovered. He was a complacent man. Boys and girls, do you remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? He was living in great wealth. He had everything he needed. He was complacent, laid back. Everything was great. And then suddenly God took him and he found himself in hell. What an awful experience this is. It's the experience of as though you were woken up out of sleep by dramatic news that you were not prepared for. We all know that, don't we? If you've been having a deep sleep and really enjoying your sleep, and then someone suddenly bursts in and wakes you up and tells you some terrible news dramatically, we don't like that, do we? It's a horrible experience, and yet that's the experience of the complacent person in regards to their soul. They suddenly realize that they were never safe, and that God's judgment has come, and they're destroyed, and there's no way back. Or do you not realize that the truth of this text has terrible implications for our nation and for you if you're not saved? Because you, if you continue on as you are, may very well experience this destruction without remedy. How close are we, I wonder, to sudden ruin from which we cannot recover? Where would you be when God breaks into your life and judges you righteously? Where would you be? What would happen to you? Do you not realize how much you need Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And I turn you to Psalm 34 and the verse 18 as I close. Because if you are a complacent person, then you need to listen to God's word and you need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and hear these words, because we read in Psalm 34 and the verse 18, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Now that's the opposite of being complacent. Because God comes in mercy to those who are broken by their sin, who realize that they're lost, who realize that they don't deserve God's mercy, who are contrite before God. And that means literally that they're crushed in spirit. They have nothing whatsoever to offer to God. They're poor and feeble and weak. They know that if God doesn't step in and be merciful to them, they're lost forever. Have you ever realized that? Have you ever come to a place where you're broken, where you're contrite in spirit? Oh, that you would cry unto God for mercy and salvation before it's too late. Because God's word warns you that if you harden your neck to his reproofs, then you will be destroyed without remedy. But if you respond, if you hear his word and obey it, if you keep his word, and you come to the one that the word speaks of, the Lord Jesus Christ, then he will deliver you and give to you a new heart, and he will save you from your sins. Oh, that you would respond to God's word today for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow together in prayer. O Lord our God, we do thank you that you do reprove us. We thank you, Lord, that your word tells us where we have gone wrong in our sins, but it also teaches us of Jesus Christ, the mighty to save. Oh Lord, I do pray that you will help all of us not to stiffen our necks to your word, but that we might respond in love and in thankfulness and in gladness to your word of life, to your word of truth. We pray that those who know not thee will come to see their need of Jesus Christ and call on him for salvation. Bless your word to our hearts. Apply it now, we pray, by the power of the Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.